Welcome everybody to the Super Mario Brothers podcast.
You definitely have a Mario impression in you. Come on, you can't even.
This would be me doing you.
I'm just doing Mario.
You spent the last 3 days playing Mario Kart and Super Smash Bros. You can't do a Mario?
Yeah, I don't remember most of it.
You're ridiculous. You're a monster, too. Wow, everybody. It is podcast two while we have Sean Joseph Owen Toon here.
You saw that?
What?
Oh, never mind.
You mean your birth certificate?
My flask that I brought, a girl got it for me when I was like 18. Like, a girl I was dating at the time. And she got my name wrong. We had been dating for like a year, and she bought me a birthday gift and stuff. And it says like Sean Owen Michael Toon. Put four names for whatever reason. I thought that's what you were talking about.
Nah, well, your middle name is Joseph, isn't it? Yeah. Sean Joseph Toon.
Francis with the confirmation.
Sean Joseph Francis Toon. You're John, Michael John Dominic Toon, or Mike Larius, whatever. Who cares?
You're 0 for 2.
And Christopher Martin Patrick Larius. Boom, nailed myself. Kabam.
Is it Patrick?
Patrick is my confirmation name.
You definitely told me. I feel like I forgot.
I took it. I wanted something Irish, but if you took Daniel as your name and holy name, because our priest there was Father Daniel Mahoney, he'd give anyone who took Dan or Danielle $20. So a lot of kids did that, but because it was a Catholic school, and every parent knew this, a lot of kids got guilted into not doing it. They're like, don't do that. He's an old man. Don't take his money like that. He only gets so much a month. So I still wanted to take something Irish, so I went with Patrick, but there was a strong temptation to go with Daniel. Confirmation name's a really like bullshit name, though, right? Like, you ever considered yourself, your cultural identity, any different from having Dominic as part of your name?
No.
Because it's not legal either. You know, it will never show up on any of your forms.
It was definitely just some scenario, like the early Catholic Church made up to like take the place of bar mitzvah. Like when they were still trying to bring Jews over to Christianity, they're like, you know, let's put our big holidays right along theirs. Instead of bar mitzvah, let's just make a much more toned down version where people don't have to give you as much money. And you pick this name that you'll never use and isn't recognized by the government, by the way.
I was like, what's the name supposed to be?
It's not your legal name.
That's a name you like use in church? Like, what is it?
No, never. I don't know.
Can't have any reason.
It's literally like a rite of passage, I think, supposed to represent. It's bar mitzvah done poorly.
So it's a name you take on that you're never going to use, has no legal standing whatsoever, and just seems to like exist to confuddle things for a couple weeks. Like,
yeah.
It's not like even like, because there's no document you get from the church. It's not like I had to send something in for the Pope to be like, ah, Christopher Martin Patrick Larios, ah, very good.
I mean, they'll keep track of it. You can't show up with like a fake ID and get confirmed. Like, they want to find out where you were baptized and everything first.
So you guys went to the Catholic school, like I had CCD, and we had to take a test before we got confirmed. Was any test? I mean, you had religion classes.
Some tests, yeah.
We had the religion class all year round, and I'm sure it was tests up and down. I remember, like, the week or two prior to confirmation, it was a big, like, every class was like, all right, here's another step of confirmation we're teaching you. You got to get this right. You can't hose this one up. Because you're kind of prepared for it in second grade. That's when we have First Communion and First Confessions. So those are like the two big Catholic events, and they like really nail it in. You're like, all right, here's the order you're going to do your confession in. Here's what it means. Here's how you get served the Eucharist. But when you get to confirmation, they're like, all right, you are a grown-ass adult now. You get this shit down right.
Because when they gave us our test, they said, you only get one chance. If you don't pass, you're going to have to take another year of CCD. I took it 11 times because that was just a big lie.
Oh, my God.
I got to the point where they're like, you got these four wrong. Let's pick a different answer. It was like, Jesus good? Question mark. So like, maybe?
You're like,
you got good days or bad days, I'm sure.
I don't see most of the time. Where's that?
First Communion, though, that brought the topic up. You we're all here, been given our first communion, I believe, right? You've had that too.
Did you actually have yours at Holy Name, or were you going by then?
I moved to Jersey, but it's one or two.
Okay.
So, we all had first communion. For those of you who are not Catholics and who are listening, communion is like a sacrament within Catholicism where you're supposed to, basically you eat like a wafer and you drink some blood, and that's supposed to represent joining with the body and blood of Christ.
You drink some wine.
Yeah. It's kind of a metal sacrament for something so lame and bland and uneventful. But I remember when you're, I don't know if you guys are taught the same way, when you go up for communion, you're supposed to go up to the priest and then offer him your hands. I believe it's your dominant hand on the bottom, because you then pick it up and then put it in. But there's also another way you can receive it where you just don't give him your hands at all and you just open your mouth. It's supposed to be like if you're sick, you don't, so you won't touch your hand. I was like, I don't know why feeding it, like having him feed me like a baby bird is any better.
Or like Shamu at SeaWorld. Like, I'm just going to put my hand right in there.
And I definitely did it once to test it. I just like had my hands aside, open my mouth, and he's just like, all right.
I couldn't.
No, that's
weird. I did it once just to try it. It's very strange. You definitely feel like a weirdo. I guess it's maybe what old ladies do. Like, oh, my hands are just so...
Oh,
and these used to be such big, strong hands. Feed me. Oh.
And if you're the guy giving it out, you gotta be like, just take it in your damn hand. What is this?
I'll drop it in your hand. Don't make me actually like, yeah.
Especially like, you know, like every now and then it'd be a chick and they're... I'm sure there's some dude that's like, just stick it in there, done.
No, there was never any chicks, because you had to be a father to take, to give reconciliation, or to give...
it's probably changed that. Last few times I've been to church, there have been women as Eucharistic ministers. I mean, it's just somebody, like, we know goes to church.
Good for them! The Catholic Church is finally getting women involved.
New Pope.
Yeah, really, new Pope's really shaking it up. Things.
It's the same people that, like, I've just been there at church and been one of, like, when they're doing the... you know, donations, that they're just like, hey, I recognize you from church. Take this and this big basket, pass it up and down the aisles, and give us the money at the end.
Oh, you had to do that?
Yeah, because if there's no one else, you know, usually there's like a core of old dudes that are already ready to do it, but if not all of them are there, because it's like a, you know, it's weird. Catholic Mass is kind of like a McDonald's, where it's like, oh, there's two Masses on Saturday and 13 on Sunday, so make your way down here. You never know, there might not be enough people there to do it, so then they'll just throw it out to... It's almost always a dude. They're really scraping the barrel if you see them give it to a chick, like, alright, hand this out.
How is it like McDonald's?
Because it's like fast food church services, compared to like Protestant services.
That's where it's like, you know, when you go to McDonald's in the morning, you ask for a sausage pizza, and I'm sorry, sir, we don't have any. You're going to have to make your own.
I would compare it, like, you know, some Protestant services were like, we're going to church, so we'll be back in 4 hours. Catholic Mass, it's like, all right, come to the 9 o'clock Mass, so you don't even have to get up crazy early. No, come to the 10 o'clock Mass, you'll be out before Burger King stops serving breakfast at 10:50.
It is nice. There are... Because being in Catholics, we had to go to so many Masses as a kid. And they were always the long, shitty ones. You hated them. But if you do go to Mass on like a early morning, they cut out so much. Because there's no gospel or homily. They cut that out entirely. It's like, by the books, boom, boom, boom. It's like, everybody stand, blah, blah, blah. Here's a song. Everybody sit down. Bless this body and blood of Christ. Everybody stand up, walk up, get your Eucharist, last rites, blah, blah, blah. Don't kill anybody, and peace.
The father was going to the seminary school and, like, being, must have been a devout Catholic in his day. We were, like, maybe midnight Mass on Christmas when we ever showed up to church.
The worst night, too. Ugh, so crowded.
It only happened if the father didn't start drinking before midnight. Which didn't happen super often. So, like, literally me and Scott, like, with our ears against the office, waiting for, like, the can. We're like, all right, take off our tie. Screw the shit.
Your mother couldn't drive you?
Well, her being a Jew, it would be kind of the point. Like, she's not going to drop us off to a different religion for a holiday.
I'm a Jew. Taking my atheist kids to church.
Yeah, so it was very early in life on McDonald's. But. I do it for the father. Later, the only reason why I got confirmed, I named myself after Sage Francis, or Biggie, who calls himself Frank White. So that's the only reason why I picked the name. The project you had to do, like, it was like a 3-page paper. I'm like, I told him flat out, like, I'm not writing this. And that's one of the few times, like, I defied my dad, and he just ended up writing it and handed it to me. They don't even read. Like, you literally hand it to the nun, She's like, all right, checks it off, and just throws it, like, in the fire pile. It's like, all right, you did something.
You accomplished a menial task.
Take this super important test out. You can't take twice.
Oh, you fucked up. Well, let me help you with this.
Seriously, but, like, at the end, they're like, honestly, kid, you gotta be kidding me.
How many of your friends are confirmed?
I mean, most of these kids I would get a confirmation with, like, right away.
Like, even
with
the people you hang out with now, like, how many of them were ever confirmed, do you think? Do you think you're, like, a minority amongst your friends?
Not gross. Oh, yeah, being, like, a lot of black friends, not, most of them are Catholics.
Yeah.
So, confirmation out of the five Catholics I can really think of, probably all, maybe four out of five. I'm not sure about one, but it's fairly often.
Mm-hmm.
You hang around with a lot of Catholics?
I think all my I think all my Catholic friends were confirmed. Their parents got them that far, and then the, like, half of them were like, I'm done with this. And the other half are like me, and just kind of half-heartedly like, well, I'll make it to church when I can. I'll be at church tomorrow.
Now, you are still consider yourself Catholic.
I definitely consider myself a Christian. If I had to identify as something, I'd say Catholic, but I don't go to church regularly.
You believe in a God, though.
Yeah, and I believe Jesus Christ is my personal savior.
That's what it's on my bumper sticker. Also, my bank account.
Next one says, Cowboys' butts make me nuts, Simon.
Dad put that first. People need to know that about me before anything.
I always wonder. I think Terry's also Catholic still, or at least Christian. Believes, I don't know.
I think so, if I had to guess.
It is, yeah, I guess, I mean, it's not weird that, like, I guess none of us really know any devout Catholics still at this point. But that, like, all of us, almost all of the kids from that Catholic faith have either stopped practicing or barely practice anymore.
I don't know a single dude, Catholic or not, that...
Like, do you think Tom Paul or...
have sex before marriage.
Leaves the bar early on Saturday to wake up for, you know, Sunday mass. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, no. It's almost sad in a way, you think.
I thought it was kind of sad because I did Knights of Columbus at Hoi Ninh, which is like a men's adult group. Like, oh, come here and pull weeds. Essentially, it's like a lot of like stuff they don't want to pay people to do, so they'll just come in and do yard work and maintenance and things like that. It's a lot of old retired contractors in it, too. But, I said,
who won't do free work on the house?
No, I've checked. But I did that for a couple years, dropped out. And as I was dropping out, I was like, oh, wow, our grandfather started this church. I'm literally the last one involved in it at all. And I barely gave a shit by the end.
And I'm quitting because I don't want to do another
first. Could you imagine if someone had told him he was going to have 18, 20 grandkids?
And
none of them have anything to do with your church anymore that you built. That
and
you
like
built.
Seven of them are still in Harrisburg too.
Yeah. Oh, they're not far. And even the far ones are still in a state that's connected. It's not like anyone lives in Alaska.
Yeah, it's a pretty big bummer, but you know.
I mean, his name's still on a plaque in the hallway.
Is it?
Yes. I think he was the first president of the school.
Wow.
That's like the president of the council or whatever.
Oh, man, I've started to bum myself out on this.
You should. You should feel like a real turd,
Christopher. You should feel like a real shit, Christopher. You ruined Poppy's life. You made him so sad.
Yeah, I'm not Christopher. Saying,
despite the fact that I was Poppy's favorite grandkid. Let's just admit that openly on the podcast. Let's get that out here.
I have, like, no recollection of Poppy.
Oh.
Like, when he died, how old were we?
We were five, but I saw him probably every single day of my life that I wasn't in El Salvador. If not every single day, then at least like three or four times a week. Because I remember always being at his place. I actually remember there used to be a whole system to it. Because when I was, I guess, like two or three, Mom would have to go to Mass. That was when we still actually went to Mass every week. But I was too young to go. So what happened is Grandma and Poppy would go to Mass in the morning. Then I would go with them. You guys would go to regular Mass. And they'd take me to Burger King. And I'd get...
Ooh.
Hash browns and orange juice, and Poppy would steal my hash browns, and then Grandma would teach me letters and numbers using coffee straws. It was the best. It was tits. I got fed. I got to learn. It was pretty sweet overall.
It does really sound like he was a favorite. You got anything like that? You got nothing?
Like how it's centered on food. Like eventually your fantasy, it'll just be like, instead of Poppy and Grandma, it's like a big tray of hash browns and a big slab of bacon. Hey, Christopher, we love you!
It's just two packages of hash browns. They're like, here, more hash browns for you! They shuffle their heads into the plate. I'm like, oh, thank you.
Sure, they eat me. I'm totally not fat, by the way.
Thank you, hash brown Grandma. I needed that.
No, I got nothing like that. I got the one time, like, I was sitting over there and some, like, kid from school, and, you know, I didn't have any friends, like, early on because they kept me on, because I was on Ritalin and I was too scared to, like, barely even talk to anybody. So I finally had, like, a friend play date, and his mom showed up 3 hours late, the pre-cell phone, but she said, I forget, I never heard the story because I was in the kitchen because when she finally showed up, I've been waiting by the window for like 3 hours for them.
Like I made a little bow tie on a box of chocolates.
And she
play with me.
She finally showed up, came to the door, the mom. And Poppy's like, I want you to go wait in the kitchen. And I didn't hear any of it. But afterwards, mom was like, your grandfather really gave that lady a dressing down. Who the hell do you think you are? Keep my grandson waiting that long. You know, he's been sitting there like, crying like a girl for 2 hours.
He's been really crying like a Nancy.
Sucking his 12-year-old thumb for 2 hours.
Someone play with me! Someone play with me! Like a dog.
His 16-year-old thumb for 12 hours.
My son's 21 years old and he needs this play date, goddammit.
I always thought that was like, wow. That was, it was, you know, you always heard about it, but like I never really saw Poppy mad.
No, I heard about it a bit. I remember him actually, because again, I tend to be his favorite, so he tended to always like lavish me with praise. I say this only because this was always related to me. I remember mom telling me, like one time when I was a baby, she was giving me a bath, and I guess I was really being a shit about it. I was crying a whole bunch. Poppy came in, heard me crying, and he acted like mom was like trying to give me a shot. Like he just grabbed me out of the bath, like, what are you doing, kitty? Clearly he doesn't want a bath right now. Come here. I'm here for you.
My precious.
Mom's just like, he just needs a bath. He's just being an oots about it. And I feel like that's what really propelled me into the man I am today. A pretty big oots.
That explains like your early years of just straight McDonald's and not taking baths.
Yeah, it's pretty much, it's hash browns and not taking baths. It's pretty much it's my autobiography from years 2 through 22.
There's some competition, though, because you had John Boy, Tommy, Sean, all around that same time. You crushed them all.
I know. John was even named after him, too, but didn't matter.
Too little, too late. Yeah, that's like, so how many boy cousins
Baptist,
it made.
Too, you know?
How many boy cousins they had before they finally got a John? It's like, oof, someone should have stopped that before.
You took the middle name. I guess that's like what they were hoping for on the best, but...
Yeah, but it was still like, your dad got an opportunity to do it, didn't do it, and then my mom had the ball. Well, then none of them are named John. Like, Scott isn't named John. And then it came to my mom's turn, and she's like, ooh, I could really be a difference maker, and just John this. Still didn't happen. Wait, for you, Corey, Christopher.
What was your name supposed to be? Because mom had a different name for all of us, I thought. Because dad picked at least two of our names.
I was going to either be Michael or Joseph. Because they both had brothers. And Michael and Joseph.
I know I was supposed to be Casey at one point in time. Thank God I didn't, because that's a girl's name, even though Christopher has now become a girl's name, too, somehow.
Topher. It'd still be spelled with a C, a C, right?
Casey?
Yeah.
I don't know. I
mother
mean, I know it both ways.
Mother wanted to do Sean with A-U-N. The father was not having that.
He's like, no, we spell it like in the old country.
Because her thing was, like, all the kids would have five-letter names. The Scott, Corey, Erica, and each one do a Sean that way, and I guess not having it. Which I'm glad, because that's a stupid way. It's dumb.
What? It's like I'm reading the Torah over here.
It's seen. It's perfect.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like, your name's the one. Anytime I hear somebody complain about the name Sean, it's always your spelling. They're like, it doesn't even look like Sean. Where the fuck's the H sound come in? Sean's in the
I really got nothing.
It's the best name.
It's better than the other one. Scene, is it?
I'm just trying to mime to you that your peppers might be burning, but...
Yeah. I said a thing on my
It's been 20 minutes since we started recording. You're like, definitely.
All right, I'll check.
All right, fine. We're pausing the podcast.
Are you guys just riffs? This is Sean's riff opportunity.
All right, Sean. The pressure's right on you right now.
Take it to the house. Chris, or give him a funky beat.
Fell or half of this rap battle? I'm not going to rap. I don't know. It's like finding out, like, during the podcast, you guys, I don't know, it's weird. It's like finding out how sausage is made, you don't really want to know. And like, it turns out, like, this is it.
It's like laws and sausage, you're just like, oh, now I'm behind this back room, all the magic's gone.
Yeah.
You're so fat, you eat so much during the podcast.
It's literally the conversation we've been having all day, now it's recorded.
Yeah, I mean, that's 90% of podcasts that we've come to find out. It's like, oh, you talk this way anyway, why don't you just put it up online? That way people can be entertained by it.
So if you said the N-word a lot more.
Well, yeah, off mic. On mic, you're trying to attract an audience, and those monkeys give views. And by monkeys, I mean actual apes at the zoo. They do play it there, and apes can have their own iTunes account. It's not racist, everybody. Stop looking at me like that.
I just watched the documentary on HBO, I want to say, about they were training the monkey sign language, and obviously it doesn't really take, but at the end, they were putting him in some zoo, and other monkeys could tell he wasn't like a zoo monkey or a wild monkey, so they would actively try to kill him by like, throwing him in the water. That's how, and they done it to other monkeys. Like, if they didn't like it, they just threw you in the water.
That's terrifying. Monkeys are horrifying creatures. It's like you see like Jane Goodall, and you're like, oh, she's really taught these apes a thing. Like, these are beautiful creatures. And then you see them in the wild, you're like, oh no, it just ripped that one's anus out through its throat, and now it's gonna strangle it with it. Oh, Mikey, come on. Or is that Sean?
No, it's his phone. It's his phone, probably.
There's just no professionalism on this podcast. None whatsoever. You're not even trying to rush.
Oh,
with your phone.
I thought it'd be endearing. You guys could rip. Da, da, da.
We did. Till your phone started ruining the podcast.
Oh, was it going off?
It was. Sean saved the podcast.
Did he?
It's about time.
What people expected.
No, thanks.
They heard so much about me.
All right, I got a good story.
Okay.
I was probably 7 or 8. Terry's a year younger than me. And your brother Corey was there. He's our age, roughly, in between us.
Yeah, he's a year younger.
So we were all between 7 and 8 in our old house, playing hide-and-seek down in the basement. I kept finding them, and they kept being like, no, that doesn't count, you cheated. And they kept making me it. By democracy, 2 against 1, I'm still it. And I finally got frustrated, and I was like, oh, whatever. I said, I'm not playing anymore, you sons of bitches. And I started walking up the stairs. Your dad met me and slapped me like a pimp slaps a hoe across the face and said, don't ever let me hear that word again.
Yeah, that was one thing he was adamant about. Like, in my entire life, like, I probably heard him curse less than 10 times easily. Even then, it was either, like, shit.
Yeah.
When he, like, broke a thumb. That was one thing he just didn't, like.
It was the first, you know, at 7, the first time you really like, oh, that's what it feels like to just be slapped like you weigh nothing. Like, ouchies!
It's really just to prove how much stronger an adult is. I didn't realize it until now, but oh my god, I feel like nothing.
Like, I'm sure I didn't want to cry. Like, even then I had some idea of what being a boy is supposed to be, but I'm sure it didn't matter. It just was already coming out like, I'm sorry,
I'm not. I'll be it forever.
I have a story of you. When we were, it must have been like 12-ish in Brigantine.
Okay.
And we had met these girls and Corey.
Oh, God, yeah.
And we found out, like, Corey at the time, he's 6 years older than me, so he's probably like 17, 18. These girls were like 15 and 16. And we're like 11. So right away, Corey's like, oh, I'm 18, like 16, 15. Before I can say, like, oh, we're 14, he's like, we're like 10 and a half. Hey, guys.
Oh my god, no, I remember this specifically because we also, I don't know if you would see it, because you've always been a bit of a ladies man. You've always been a bit of a Casanova, as they say.
More so than us.
Yeah.
Which is not saying.
But for whatever reason, you had like made a deal like, oh yeah, we'll catch you on the beach tomorrow morning at like 6 a.m. or something like that. It was super early in the morning. So you, me, and Corey went out there, and Mikey was there too. We just didn't invite him. It was great. You just didn't get to come.
You worried I'd mack too much?
And it was like, I guess it was just a sign, like, from a very early age, I had just no sense of game. So, like, you guys are weighing out on the beach, and I'm in the water playing. Like, I'm, like, getting my feet wet and, like, splash up.
I definitely remember that.
And I turn, and I see you guys talking to the girls. I'm like, oh, shit, I'm missing the meeting. So I run up, and, like, you guys are, like, playing at Suave, and they're like, oh, yeah, here's my email address. And I guess, like, the thing to do in that situation is just to take it and go. But I was like, let me start telling you my email address, even though you didn't bring pen or paper.
Some Pokemon.
It's Zapdos769 at AOL. Oh, did you get it? Zapdos, you know the Pokemon, right?
As your new impression of them.
Yeah, I'm like, rah! And that's lightning shooting out in all directions. You know it, right? All right, girls, we'll see you later. On Neopets? I'll catch you on Neopets later.
Here's some paper towels. Dry yourself off.
And then we got back to the house, and Mikey was up. He's like, where were you guys? And we're like, talking to some girls on the beach. And Mikey's like, why the fuck didn't you invite me if you knew this was happening?
I was probably sitting there doing a puzzle by myself. And you guys just walked right past me.
We're playing Barrels of Monkey Alone. Like, flip. Oh, this sucks.
Doing my own, like, fake WWE-style interviews against myself. Well, Mikey doesn't want none of this.
He's going to get some. Here comes the Nosinator. Here comes the nose.
The nose says...
Bring Team Beach was a fun time. Almost every trip. It was, it's this house. Bring Team is, I guess it's what I think.
Right outside of Atlantic City.
It's an island outside of it.
Yeah. Right next to Atlantic City. And it was essentially the family reunion for our family, for the teen side, for basically about 7 or 8 years, yeah, I feel like.
Not a minute.
It was.
There were some breaks in there, but yeah.
It was multitude, too, of how many people actually attended. There were a couple times I remember we actually had every family.
Yeah, those were awesome.
At that beach house at some point in time, maybe not the entire trip. And then there were definitely some that was like, your family, our family, and then like Uncle Tom's family would show up for like a couple days. And that was it. But those still almost every time were just super fun.
We were doing late night trips up to Wawa when we got older.
Wawa, and my first real exposure to criminal activity. It was sort of like you were ushering me into a gang at that point in time, because like in like 1 week, like one trip, it was, oh no, we're going to steal candy bars. Mikey's going to then almost throw a bottle of Mountain Dew inside a mailbox.
Oh,
and just
that,
pour it all. Yeah, you came very close. Until someone's like, I think that's a federal crime to do that. And you're like, oh, okay. So instead you just poured it all over the mailbox. So just to be an oonce. To be a real dick. But we definitely stole probably like $20 worth of candy bars from that Wawa. And one of the times we did it when there was a cop inside. There was clearly just no balls within our...
Pretty reckless.
Yeah. I mean, my logic was like, alright, I always have enough money in my wallet to pay for this candy bar if needed. And that was always going to be my answer. Like, why are you stealing that candy? Like, I just plumb forgot, officer. But I remember Corey refused to do it, though. He would, and I don't think for a place of honor. I think it was just like, I don't want to do it. It's not fun.
Man, you mess it up with the girls. Corey doesn't steal. I'm really shooting. Like,
it was definitely like, we don't have much money. Of course, sometimes you shoplift, especially when you're away from home.
I never got, like, it really was like my first like introduction. I was like, oh, Jesus, that's like two of the commandments you're breaking right there. It's a Sunday. That's three. You're like, oh, God damn it, credits for a quiet down. That's two!
Like, we're broke as shit. Of course I'm not paying full price for this king-size sticker. What family are you from, son?
You know where we're from. You know that mom gave us, like, $20 to play the Lucky in Cash game in the arcade, and we blew it all in one afternoon?
We did. When we said in the singing the brand team, we say AC, we'll be in Harris. We played that game where you drive and shoot. Like, one person drives and shoots, one just shoots. We would play that game constantly.
It was an absurd amount of money we had to spend on that game. I wish I could find it. I've never seen it in another arcade outside of that. I can't remember. It's just like you play cops. So yeah, one of you drives and shoots, the other one just shoots, and you just go against like five bosses and vehicles. We spent an absurd amount of money on it. It was the only place you could find it was in the Harris Hotel in Brigantine Beach, which is where Mom always wanted to stay. We didn't stay at the beach house. It was at Harris because she loved going down to the casino. And gambling like $20 away.
I'm a bad girl.
It is weird, but for a Catholic girl, that really was her breaking away. Like, that's entirely what she lived for. Like, if
She did love those.
Playing the penny slot.
If she treated herself, it was that trip to Brigantine Beach every year, which had to be, because all four of us stayed in the same hotel room. Yeah. Probably like $600 hotel room for the week or something like that. Then she'd go downstairs, she'd play plenty of slots. She never went to the beach, she hated it. She'd go once out of like courtesy, not go in the water, not tan. Then she'd leave. I guess she'd go to the pool a bit, and then she'd hang out with her mom. And that was it. But that was heaven for her.
Remember one year, we're in Harrah's, and I was like really young. I was probably like six at the time, seven. It's like one of the vague memories. And I was like,
a smoking pot.
Stealing, calling up girls. But the father got mad with us about something, and he was not someone he got mad often, and not someone he want to make mad. He always had like very threatening
to me. He's a scary dude.
Yeah. But he told us to like stay in the hotel, and the mother like secretly gave us each like a dollar to go to something in the vending machine.
Mm-hmm.
So me and Corey go. Like, I literally couldn't have been more than like nine at this time. We get back. I ask Corey, so like, you have the keys on you, right? Because he has to be like 15 at this time. Like, he should be able to understand you need the goddamn keys. And he said, no. I'm like, what are we going to do? And he was fully content with just sitting down waiting there until someone came back. So I, at the age of nine, totally did not want to make my dad mad and him see me out of the room.
Yeah.
And the mother would be out there, maybe with your mom, like playing like quarter slots and whatnot. So I trolled around like inside the casino, calling up for my mom. Gave up. Went to my dad and like tried to act so nonchalant. Like sat down. I ordered like a water or something. Like I was gonna stay a while. I'm like, oh, I'm getting kind of tired.
Like, you sat there at the bar.
Yeah, he was at like he never
listened to a band, right?
Yeah, he always like listened to bands and whatnot. So I acted like, yeah, it's got, you know, see what you guys are up to, hanging out down here. He's like, yeah, you gotta go back to bed. Or I'm like, mention I was tired. And I just try to like not. Can I get those keys from you real quick? Go back up. Corey's just sitting there. He had taken off his shoes. He was getting comfortable.
Did you get the keys?
Yeah, we got the keys and got back in. I don't think he ever knew that story before he died either.
Oh, wow. So this is like a secret you get to just take. You're like, oh, I'm sorry, Dad. We took this from you.
Had to lie to him. Well, that didn't do very often.
Dad, if I'm right, you'll never know. If you're right, there could be a problem.
I feel bad because I love those Brigantine trips. And I know your dad loved them too.
Yeah.
And I remember it was always a question of whether or not we do them because it was expensive. It was like $1,500 or something like that to get that house. Even that small house.
Actually, a small house, we got a deal. I heard later on.
Oh, really? Because
apparently the father was her like paper boy back in the day. Like, that's how long we've known them.
Jesus.
Yeah. So we got it for like $500 a week. I remember thinking, because remember the other house we would stay at was so much better?
Yeah, it was like two stories.
The second house? Yeah.
So like, at the time, I'm like, oh, we should have stayed at that house. Let's spend extra money. But now I'm like paying it, like, $500 a week? You kidding me? What a deal.
That's great. $500 for rent for essentially like a week? It's not a bad house either. Two bedrooms.
It is.
When they finally put AC in.
Once they finally got that.
I'm definitely like, when I do those things, I do like to be surrounded by family. So it is so much cooler when as many people can stay in, like, one house. Like, that second year, that big house, I think four out of five, out of six siblings were in that house. I like that feeling. On our dad's side, they do a yearly one for, like, a week, and it's everybody in, like, a big beach house.
It's pretty sweet. Remember being the nicer house is when I found out I was allergic to jellyfish.
Oh, I remember that. I was contemplating bringing that up, where you got stung at the beach, and you actually got carried off by paramedics, like a whole ambulance thing. And most of the adults went with you. I guess all of them did, because I remember it was myself, John, and Tommy. They gathered us around the lifeguard, like the lifeguards, like you just had to watch over them. And I guess it makes sense, but Queefy John Boy, it's like everybody let's start saying prayers for Sean.
And Tommy rolls his eyes.
And as I say that, I'm contemplating my... Did he say that or did I? We definitely started doing prayers. I think it was John. But I'm not going to rule myself out as also being the one to creepily mention, like, let's pray for Sean, everybody!
I feel like it's reverse. I'm not praying for you. Like, that's so weird. Like, nah, he'll be fine.
I'm sure if it was you, you'd be like, can we get back out in the water? He's probably okay.
The only thing that sucks is I had to take Benadryl every day before we go to the beach. So I was like asleep after an hour.
Oh. You were allergic to a lot of things, I felt like. Were you also allergic to peanuts?
Frail baby.
Peanuts, no. Yeah. But, like, just bushes and grass. Like, I was a ton of stuff when I was really young. I was sick constantly. And I faked a ton. Because my mother, being, like, a protective Jewish mother, would keep me home for no reason. Like, I'm this low of a clamp, Mom. I'm going to stay in bed. She's so okay. Tired.
You really turn on, like, the full Jew meter at that point. Like, oh, my connectigazoint is all verklempt.
Do we have gefilte fish still? Do we still have some?
I'm just exhausted. Oy. Mother, please.
I haven't felt this bad since my bris. Ba-dum-ting. Just keep going. Can I not go to school?
Yeah, can I stay home? What's up with that, mother? What's up with the toys?
Are you going to turn the TV on or what?
No, I was going to say, though, I remember having a conversation with your dad via IM back in the old days of AOL Instant Messenger. We actually did stay in contact with him pretty regularly then.
He did really embrace that.
Yeah.
He used to have this weird habit, too, where he refused to be the last person, or he refused to let you be the last person to say something in a conversation. So he'd be like, all right, I got to go. Talk to you later, Uncle Mike. He'd be like, all right, bye. And you'd say bye. And he'd be like, see you later. So it just became like a game of being like, all right, well, I hope to see you around sometime. And then he'd be like, I think inherent land calling from the... Like, you just refused to be the last message in there. But I remember, and I guess it's kind of a bummer, but I remember telling him one time, because I was like, I knew how expensive the beach house was and how much Uncle Mike loved it. And I just remember telling him one time, I was like, if I ever get really rich, I want to buy the beach house and bring it to you so that you can have it.
Oh.
I know, right?
You wanted to live with me for a while?
Yeah. Well, I wanted us to be together forever, Sean.
Honestly, I think that's what any of us would have done. If we'd made, like, a fortune quickly, we'd have bought that house and put it in your dad's name.
I'm pretty sure that house is standing.
Well, not that house. Probably a really nice house on Brigantine.
I don't know. He seemed to always like that house, though.
I think he'd prefer a place where as much family could stay over as possible.
Yeah, yeah. But no, it was a cool memory, too.
Sometimes we'd be at Harrah's and want you guys to come over, and I never heard the conversation, but I'm sure it's your mom and then, like, oh, it's a whole schlep over to Harrah's?
Oh, it's so... City miles? Ay, they.
The gas.
They reimbursing us or nothing?
Yeah. So they paying for meals, or what's going on? Oh, they're just gonna pizza, we'll split. Okay, that makes sense.
Which was always clutch by the time
we... It was better for you guys. More of a herd.
Being like that age and your mom like never cooking, eating out all the time and thinking fast food, it was the most awesome part of that vacation half the time.
Listening to her spend Christopher's college funds.
listening to her on the downward trope of like, I'll just go to fast food all the time.
Every day things are getting better.
Just lipstick all over her face.
La la la. I'm so pretty.
I'm like, Mom, please. We need to get to McDonald's before they stop serving breakfast.
On the way, la, 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 la. You definitely did a 180, because for a long time, I swear, like, we ate out all the time, anything else here. I'd never seen you eat a green thing ever. Remember where you had to come down to my house, which I think only happened once I can think of?
I think twice.
It was a real dump.
That reminds me of a story that continues.
It's a real dump.
Well, we did okay.
It was Jersey.
But the mother, like... You were crying at the dinner table, not eating, like, a salad, because she was not letting you leave without eating the salad.
Yeah, your mom was a real, real stickler on making me eat salad. A lot of people would try. Your mom was the first to ever, like, force me to do it. I was like,
That Jewish guilt, it gets you every time.
It really wasn't Jewish guilt. She really put the authoritative foot down on that. It was really like, no, you eat your salad! I'm not your mom!
We're in the living room playing Shaq Fu.
It was, yeah, no, it was a strangle. I really, and even to this day, I can't eat a salad, like, as on my own. I just, there's something just so unappealing about eating a salad. Plain. I'll eat vegetables. If they're prepared a certain way, or if I cut them into, like, food. Like, I mix, like, you know, peppers and onions into my taco meat and things like that. It's a texture thing, but it all spawned from a very long time. I don't know if you remember this. We were having dinner with Grandma, and we had green beans. And I guess this is like one time Mom was like, I know you don't like to eat vegetables, but Grandma's here. So for the impressions, you have to eat your green beans. She forced me to eat a green bean and I got so revolted by it. I threw up on myself, like in my school clothes at the time. Because I guess those were the nicest clothes I had. But I remember being like, bah! And Mom just being like, just go to your room.
What store did you have?
It's at that week I was at your place. We were upstairs in the your attic. Like, I guess that was your room or Scott's room.
Scott's.
Eventually Corey's room, I think.
Yeah, afterwards.
It's right down. Yeah.
We were in that room and we were playing games and the alarm of your house went off and you were like, I don't know what's happening. Like, that, like, sometimes it goes off when your dad comes home or something like that, but you weren't expecting it right then. And you, like, you got up and you looked to me like, come on, let's go. And I really did. You're like, what are we just doing? Kind of like, I was like,
they're not that young at this age. We're like at least 13.
Why are we endangering ourselves? It was really like, oh no, like, there could be someone with a gun down there, Sean. What are you going to do?
Thank God for me. Like, I make you talk to girls and make you break the law. And make like you I, defend the, yourself. Where were you? What were you doing?
It's just too big of an age gap. He was so like that nerdy little kid. Like, I'm not spending time with that. I'm not cool at all. And mom wants me to spend time with this cool person that's even less cool than that somehow.
Come on, Mike. You showed me how to be cool.
7 years a big difference.
Yeah, but wouldn't like the father figure instinct kick in?
No, because I didn't have one. Where, who would have taught me that?
It's like he could teach me how to ride a bike, catch a ball. He learned from other people, too.
He does it better than I do.
Self-taught, just from playing 500 with you, Tommy, and John. 500. Yeah, no. It was a moment I looked... Because I've always liked to think, like, I'm one of those guys that if a situation, a danger occurs, I'm
you
not the
I'm
one.
There?
I'm not the one now. I'm like, I hope Sean's here to browbeat me into doing something. No, I'm like, I always like to think I'm one
just
of the guys.
Just stick the tip in. Jesus.
Just put it in already.
You'll probably like it.
Oh, what if it burns?
You know what? If not, I'll pay for it. I'll buy you some dude.
Stick it in once. Just vomit on her.
Fine. Get Rodrigo in here.
He's like, oh, fuck it. I'll just do it.
It's a cagey Filipino.
Waste all this money on a good prostitute.
If you're not into chicks, give him a try. He's like a spelt Manny Pacquiao.
No, I always like to think I would be the guy running towards danger. But I always think back to that moment. I was like the first time danger caught, and I really was down on it. I was really like, why don't we just hide behind the couch up here and hope your mom makes it out unraped?
We'll really be thinking.
I'm sure she'll be fine.
We'll be thinking it. We can't say it out loud. We don't want them to know we're up here.
I'm here with you spiritually, Alan. But don't you time us up, you old guy. I swear to God.
He looks at you. You're in a dress and a wig. Like, don't leave me, Sean.
Oh, man.
I'll just pretend to be the innocent schoolgirl here. Like, this isn't my house. Why do you, Mr. Albert? He's upstairs. Get him.
Let's stick the tip in line. Really fucking got me.
Walk him to it.
So, we all saw Black Mass today. Went to the movie theater. It was a movie date.
Job. Thank you, by the way.
Which we all decided to set right next to each other, no spaces.
I thought that was actually pretty
adult. Well, I moved one down. You decided to sit in the middle.
No, you did. You were in the third spot. There were three of
us.
He
was in first. I went in the third. You sat second.
Oh, come on. Legs like this, I gotta get around you? No, you keep moving until you're done. That's the rule.
Then he did.
Yeah, first, I was like, I sat down first. I wanted the extra room to put my pretzels down. So it made sense for Sean to pick his seat next.
You should have sat down two extra seats and let us know, like, alright, dude rules. There's a seat between everybody.
Is it dude rules?
You sat down third and gave me this, like, come hither look. Like, in the middle spot, why not? It's a party.
Gotta rest my hand somewhere.
Johnny Depp said it. We'll need to jerk each other off.
So I, like, tap the chair, like, right here.
Millhouse eyebrow raised.
Winker, winker.
It was a good movie.
Yeah, no, it's pretty good. I was very impressed with Johnny Depp. It's the first time I've seen him in a role recently where I'm not like, oh, what a, you know, he doesn't play an eccentric weirdo. It actually seemed like a stretch of his character.
I mean, he sort of did, too.
Well, it's a very different kind of, like, it's not
a lot of straight lines,
kind of
weirdo.
Like, it's very much like a serious, unnerving kind of weirdo, criminal, as opposed to...
Very stoic, for most of it, yeah.
And it's a movie, for those of you who haven't seen, it's about Whitey Bulger, Irish-American gangster in Boston in, like, the 80s and 90s.
Since the 60s, really.
Yeah. Seems to speak to us a little bit more since our family's Irish. Seems to be a fondness towards mobsters and criminal figures.
Well, there's so few successful Irish mobsters past the 20s, so...
Is at any point, let's say society's the way it is, you're in Jersey and... Irish Tony Soprano shows up. Irish Soprano, as it is. And he looks at you and he says, Sean, I really like the cut of your jib. Do you want to be an enforcer in my
oh, done and done.
Irish
you don't, you stop talking. You said I'm in Jersey. I'm like, all right, where are you going with this?
I will pay you a week. One, done.
Big package of cheeseburgers. You're like, still done.
I started my life with crime so early, apparently. I don't even remember stealing candy from Wawa.
How do you not remember? You did a number on them. I'm surprised Wawa's still in business for what you did to them.
They'll be okay. What, you guys wouldn't join up? Like, the new mafia?
Oh, at a certain age, yeah. Younger days. Maybe at your age, even. But at 33, it's like I'm a little old to like be diving my head into the Irish mafia.
They're like, come on, kid. You're going to rise from the... Like a real Jimmy Domity. You're going to start from the bottom and work your way up towards the top. Unless you fuck us over to say...
20, 10 years older than him. And not nearly as hot.
You'll start out as my driver, and then eventually you'll work your way up to an enforcer. Just like old scraggly hair Tune over here. Both, both.
I'd probably become more like Eddie, like the uppity chauffeur. You're the moon and my stars.
You're the gay one. It's the children's dream.
Yeah, I think that's more likely than the Jimmy Domity thing.
Would you, though, John? Would you consider it all? Was there ever a fantasy in your mind about joining, like, a criminal organization?
Oh, absolutely. Like, when I read The Westies, that book I lent Sean, it was probably, like, in my early 20s about the Irish gang and 70s in the Hell's Kitchen. I was like, oh, that'd be fucking sweet to be part of it. I mean, it ends in just complete shambles.
Every aspect of it sounds awesome.
I can't believe it hasn't been a movie. But, yeah, like, oh, just sitting at Irish pubs and everyone's, like, Patty something.
It's like, what would your nickname be? Because everyone needs a nickname. You gotta have a title. And it can't be...
Something to do with your nose, probably.
You can't be Bazooka Joe like I was planning to call myself when I was
kid. You called yourself Bazooka for so long. No one called you Bazooka, though.
Yeah, so I really wanted to push it like John Boy. I was like, nah, just call me Bazooka.
I feel like Eamon de Valera, the first president of Ireland, was called Longfellow because he was a tall guy. I feel like I would try to get that... And I'd be like, call me Longfellow. They're like, whatever, big nose.
Whatever, Schnauzenstein.
Yeah. All right, Gonzo, we'll get that right out to you.
Longfellow! Longfellow! What's that? Toucan Sam's crying a lot. Get me to my place, driver boy. I don't get to this.
Churchill, is that easier? Churchill? Yeah, whatever, giant schnoz.
Nozilla.
Yeah. Anyone seen the new Anaconda movie? Oh, it's on your face. Boom.
Bam. But that was seriously Jennifer Lopez.
You're my apprentice. How dare you?
You're my driver for some reason.
You're my Jimmy. What's going on here?
Sean, what would your nickname be?
I feel like someone has to give you a nickname. You can't just say call yourself something.
That's what really would be the act you think would define you then?
If in your perfect world where you got to pick your nickname.
Longfellow is certainly is.
Alright, well you're not tall though.
It's tall enough. Yeah.
Which is, like, 6 foot quantify as, like, being Longfellow now?
I'm mostly just referring to my job.
Might just have to refer to it.
It's a dick joke. It's a big joke.
Well, your penis nickname is different from your actual nickname, though.
He's got, like, a side project, like a ventriloquist from Batman. The Muppet's got... The penis has its own thing.
I don't know what to say. Like... I want something... Whitey Bulger. Like, Whitey is cool enough. I don't think it has to be something epic.
So let's take us through the fantasy of Sean. Sean Toon has now joined the Irish organized crime mafia of the East Coast.
Hitting his Jewish roots.
He started as a driver. You gotta start somewhere small. But you're like, you're a chauffeur to a big guy. What's the train that takes you to the next level? What's the act? In your fantasy.
I'd definitely be like saving a child and killing the other guy. It would be...
Wait, saving a child?
Yeah, some guy brought his kids to the big mafia.
Oh, okay. So, all right. We need a name for your Don Corazon, as it will.
What was that?
Corazon? What's his
name? Have you ever seen that? You never seen Corleone?
Corleone. I'm thinking.
Oh, Arizano?
Why did you pull that reference if you weren't sure?
I'm thinking of a character from One Piece.
You thought you were just gonna drop Godfather references that you were shaky on.
Been a while since
I've
seen
it. It's not a notable movie. Most people haven't seen it, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure everybody's pretty clueless on The Godfather. I don't even think there was a guy in The Godfather. I think it was just called Godfather. Anyway, we need a name for his.
I think Dutch would be a cool name. Although an Irish gang, it's kind of weird, but.
Alright, so
Joker. I don't know. I'll do like the Full Metal Jacket. Just because I'm a funny guy. I laugh.
Right, so Oni the Killer Madden, like dropping it in the middle, just be like Sean the Killer Tune.
Always a pretty cool. Right, so I feel like you would not join this club though.
No, I definitely would be the cop trying to stop you. Be like, you guys need to really. Well, I'd be the cop in the office who's writing the reports that can help. Like, you guys are really. I was gonna be a cop until I saw you had to pick up a gun, and that's just I'm not so sure about that anymore.
We could do like a Black Mask thing. I could be a Whitey Bulger. You could be the FBI agent. You would give me information if I asked.
I don't know. Mike told me it was gay to think we could ever have a house together, so I think I really damaged my perception of you.
Sean did say it'd be gay.
Yeah. You made it gay.
He might be totally down for it.
Maybe we just have a house together. No, I probably wouldn't. I've never fantasized about being in the Irish Mafia or anything like that.
But would you summon the information? You totally would.
I'm a cop. Probably not.
Relationships, though.
Those Catholic roots are so strong in it, and I was, like, on that found. If I'm a cop, I have to assume I stuck to the Catholic foundation at some point, got me up to the top there. I had to imagine those are strong. Like, I'm just like, Sean, you can't. I'll protect you. Like, I'm like, Sean, I hear there's a hit coming out. But if you're like, oh, and you need to erase a lot of these crimes, I'm like, I can't do that for you, Sean. Don't make me do this for you.
We're going to talk about this when we get home.
When we get home, after you cook dinner, your fantastic children, we're going to have a long talk about what you're doing to this criminal empire.
Yes, of course I want peaches and cream when I get home.
All right, I'll catch you later, killer.
I'm really disappointed, actually. Huh. Well, I thought we were closer.
I'm just saying, this fictionalized world where I'm a cop and you're a monster, you know, I can't stretch the law too much. There's got to be some order.
So, Mikey, my favorite Larios.
Why did you become a cop if you
weren't? To upstand and hold honor, you know?
If you're going
to
be like, oh, don't hurt me, like, why wouldn't you just go into another line of profession? One where you don't have to come into conflict with Sean every day.
Well, I got fired from PennDOT for, being fat. I don't know. Somehow I've also been made into a cop. I don't know. But, you know, I just decided to become a cop.
But if Sean's like, hey, I deal some drugs in this weird hypothetical scenario, and I want you to help, I want you to arrest my rivals in that area.
So you're doing your job.
It's less drugs on the street, because it's just me, instead of five other guys. And you get a promotion at work, too. And look, your career's going, you're doing something. We're scratching each other's back.
This is the real devil on my shoulder. Okay, it's just like, it's good for everybody. But I feel like, just like Elliot from Newsroom, it's going to be like, yeah, I'm going to do that. But Sean's starting to sell drugs to kids even younger than what those guys are. Sean's the real monster here.
Well, you got to cross that bridge when you get to it. He's the real Satan. You're not going to let Sean talk himself out of that?
He's the real Satan of the East Coast, if you don't know.
Just telling the allegation to Sean, like, so you're selling it to 8-year-olds now.
you're going to start forcing like 7-year-old kids into prostitution, right? Through drugs? I just assume so. Anyway, that's what you're probably doing. I'm going to nail this guy down. When you get home tonight, I'm not going to have supper cooked.
Sean, this scenario, what's the youngest age you'll deal the drugs to? Like 15, 14?
I'm really regretting this podcast idea.
Before you and just Christopher just go at it in a full-on turf war. Well, it's not going to be a turf war. He's just a cop. You'll just shoot him one day coming out of the donut shop.
Why?
You waited till I was mid-bite. I'm going to look super fat. I do have a good hypothetical. All right, you've both seen the majority, at least, of Breaking Bad. So you know the beginning. All right, you're Walter White. You're that guy in that scenario. With those set of skills, the chemistry background, and everything. How far into that series would you make it, if it were you? Before you'd been like, no, or died, or...
I don't think I even make it from Tuco. Like, it's... That dude was terrifying.
I want to say I might get past Tuco. Like, I'm...
He was... That was a lot... Like, that is a dude who clearly had shit together, though.
But you can turn away from this at any time. You don't have to keep...
Like, no. It's the same, like, do I still have like, a Jesse, like, I still have a Jesse Pinkman who's fucking things up for me?
Yeah. Everything else is true. All the skills are true. It's just your sense of morality. Like, when do you...
Oh, either... morality? Morality. That's hard. I mean, it's just like, it's like thinking of the guy in the show. Like, it's... I'm sure he also came in with the same idea. Like, oh, I'll stop definitely once I have enough money to, like, make sure they're secure. But then I kind of want a little bit more of it. Like, eventually you're just like, no, I need to make sure I have even more to make sure they can buy a house. Like, everything's taken care of. Yeah, no, I think just logic-wise, I'd die before I get to season two, which is good, because that's where the show really started to plummet.
I'll go the distance. I want to say, I think I'm pretty comfortable with the idea, especially in that situation. Even now, I'm really cool with it, if one of you just happened to be a chemistry master. But
and yeah. You'll be the Jesse Pinkman?
Yeah, I'd be fine with that, actually. It's fine. But I wouldn't kill Gustavo. Like, working for him was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why I would mess that up.
You give up Jesse.
That was the
I'd write up Jesse. If I had to.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, was that or work for Gus? Yeah, pretty much.
He'll be fine. Or die.
Mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't? Like, man, I'm really feeling like I'm the worst guy in the room here.
Honestly, I'd have made it to the second episode. Because, like, the first time he does it...
He has to kill two people that first time.
Yeah, they beat him up. And the dealers, like, try to fuck him, and he has to poison one, and then eventually he has to choke another one to death, and they made no money. And it's like, wow, the first time I tried this, I had almost, outside of being arrested or killed, I had every bad thing possible could have happened. I'd have been like, this is clearly, I don't know if it's a religious thing at all, but I'd be like, clearly this is not a good idea.
Your family dies penniless.
I'll take that over getting killed, because look how many... fucking pitfalls I had the first time. The first time was supposed to be like the dream trip. Like, here's your money, here's your drugs, hooray! And we're both gone. It was like, literally, I had to murder two people.
It's got nothing for it.
And the one guy's literally like chained to a big pole, like defenseless, essentially, and I still have to strangle him to death.
Dude, just chat like
an Wouldn't hour. That be really bad the first day?
Yeah.
Be like any other job in the first day. The first time,
I don't think it takes practice. Everything takes practice.
It's a lot of practice, though.
He gets it together fairly quickly.
No, he's really hustling that entire first season.
Yeah, but the first season is like 2 weeks, 3 weeks of his life, 4 weeks. So that's not bad.
It's the whole. I mean, the whole first five seasons are really only like 6 months of his life, aren't they? There's not much downtime between.
So you really actually haven't finished? You still have like
six? I have like the latter half of season 5.
Hey, like what turned you off? Like what made you like,
I don't know. I just, season 4 really, like I stopped really liking the show after the first season. Like I just kept watching like to just continue it. But I started to fall less and less in love with the show as it went on.
It's a shame.
I mean, I can recognize it as a good show, I just didn't really care for it that much.
You do mention quite often, like, on the podcast when I'm listening, is, like, you didn't have time to finish this show, watch that show. Like, you're on the computer. Like, what are you doing?
It's really an ADD thing. I can't, like, it's very easy for myself to just be like, oh, I'm not watching this actively anymore, so I'll just put that out of memory and just stop paying attention to it. It happens to a lot of things. Television's hard for me to keep track of nowadays. And it's hard for me to, like, work myself around, like, a specific schedule. I mean, now that things are on Netflix, you think it'd be easier, but I find ways to make it not so easy.
So just all-day podcasting.
Yeah, I try to fill up any spare time I have. Like, how can I do another podcast about these things? How can I occupy myself in a new podcast? Oh, I can do a podcast on Marvel television shows.
It's crazy. And then you'll find out he watched 6 seasons of America's Next Top Model. You're like, what 7 happened?
Ish.
7.
That's a shit that didn't go down with quality. Unlike Breaking Bad, America's Next Top Model only went up. Nigel Barker started to wear his tinier shirts.
I'm not going to get any of these references.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know you won't. Terry will, and the America's Next Top Modelists in the audience definitely will.
Which is Terry, a lot, sadly.
Terry? Really?
It's Terry and...
Do you guys get feedback from audience fairly often at all?
I get comments from people. There's no like real direct comment. It's just there's reviews, iTunes reviews. If you want to leave an iTunes review while you're listening to this with your comments on how you think the podcast is going.
Has there been some?
There's a couple on there, actually, yeah.
Did any of them shit on you completely?
No. It's not really what the internet's about. I'm sure I expect, no. I was about to say I should expect one from, you know, Sage McShawn coming up next week. But I was like, no, you're not going to remember to do that. No. Even if you're listening to this podcast afterwards, it's like, oh, fuck that guy. I should do it right now. Maybe after the podcast. maybe after this next bong.
Make it sound like I smoke weed all day, every day.
Well, we did lure you here with the promise of a giant, rocky-shaped statue made out of weed.
Didn't happen.
We didn't happen. It actually turned out to be a fantasy, unfortunately.
Then couldn't even get weed. Had me get it, because you guys are inept somehow.
of securing weed in a timely fashion. Yeah, it's a bit of a track, man. You get in your 30s, it's not. You know, you start cutting some friendships when you're not smoking weed on a regular basis. You're like, I don't really like that guy that much.
We have smoked like 5 foot.
Kind of whispered that into the mic.
Starting to regret talking about this weed, too. This whole podcast, I'm starting to regret
things. starting to feel like there were a lot of mistakes made. I'm pretty happy to have you on the show, though. You've really been like an urban legend of the podcast community.
You get a nice three-parter Sean Toon podcast out there.
I want to like end it on another good story from Sean, though.
Did you tell the story on the podcast about you in that Little League game?
No.
The one Christopher was over.
That was the same when you went down. You had made to eat salad.
Yeah.
And there's some Little League like final championship game that I was part of, and you were adamant trying to get me to stay. Like, no, stay here. So that's like one of the things like the mother would always hold against you.
Can we play video games instead?
She would always hold that against, like, he never ate salad. Tim wants you to go play your sports with your friends. And we got, like, crushed that game. And I did terrible. Like, later in life, I'm like, I should have stayed home. I barely see my cousin.
You're like, Christopher was right. For once in his life, he really was right in his big whininess.
You know, Christopher was the better option versus this big moment of sports humiliation.
Being crushed in front of a large audience. Because I remember seeing there for the game, too, and, like, walking, like,
going
to the car afterward. You were definitely crying as your coach. You're like, I'm so sorry.
I did so bad.
I definitely remember there also being the promise of ice cream that did not happen because you started crying. It was definitely like your mom's like, we're not getting that anymore.
Meanwhile, Chris was sitting at home like, let's see what Dr. Mario characters I can unlock.
No, I was there at the game with him.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
I got dragged to the game against my will. And God, baseball sucks. It's such a boring game. Especially as a, like...
Well, literally, baseball definitely.
Because it's sure so much, like, I'm just, like, even though I was like, oh, I'm here, I want to watch my cousin play. And I'm like, oh, Sean only gets to play, like, actively, like, once every, like, for a minute, once every 45 minutes. And, you know, every time he came up, he kind of blew it up. He kind of choked a lot of time. Gotta be like, let's go, Sean, I'm not gonna strike three. Wow, you really hosed that one in, buddy. I'm like, ooh. That's not my cousin. My cousin's the black guy over there, the big strong one. Plays for the other team.
He definitely should have stayed home.
Yeah, we could have played Bomberman or something, I'm sure. What did we play at your house? Because you didn't have an N64.
I got a
Coleco.
They had a PlayStation, I know, PlayStation 2.
I remember Shaq Fu a lot when I was, like, younger. Probably, like, 10 or 11, whenever we were over there.
Shaq Fu was such a strange game, too. The fighting game based around Shaquille O'Neal, and if I recall, just a bunch of aliens beyond that? Like, it wasn't even, like, it wasn't Space Jam. It wasn't, you know, seeing any of the characters from that. It just happened to be, like, Shaquille O'Neal fighting a bunch of aliens in, like, a fighting game, like Mortal Kombat.
I think it was, like, warriors throughout history. Like, I think he fought a Mongol and a barbarian. And
was it? I thought they were aliens.
It was really not a great game.
So, time to look up Shaq Fu right now.
But when we're like, it's that or Tetris or...
All the things we could be talking about. It ends up being Shaq Fu. There's, like, an election going down. War. Syria.
People don't like it when Mikey starts talking about politics.
One or two video games. And we had the same... You didn't have that. Me and Terry growing up, like, we dad bought Nintendo, a game with Duck Hunt, and he bought Super Mario, and then...
Didn't show like, up to the next 7 birthday parties.
Yeah. Well, that's a given. And then, like, I forget, sometime a year later we were out, and he's like, I'll buy you one more video game. This is the last video game I'm ever buying. Jeez. And two kids didn't, you know, comprehend that. We just pointed to the one that had a dinosaur and we're like, that one! It turned out this game Dino Ricky that was pretty fucking lame in the long... And he was true to his word. He never bought another video game on that system.
I was gonna say, because then he bought the Sega Genesis later, right?
Those were the only two games we owned for like 5 years. You remember the good days. And Mom like, well, why not?
I remember the days where I could just say to Mom, like, I really want to buy a video game. And if she just happened to have a paycheck or she just happened to have gotten money from Grandma, she'd be like, yeah, sure! It was a pretty good time in life. Things were good for Christopher back then.
Burger King breakfasts.
I got hash browns all over the place. The unending love of my grandparents, but one of them at least.
I picture me and Tara getting hit in like a bus crash behind that scene of you at Burger King and like, oh, we're on fire! Because we're still just like, this is heaven.
It's me. Like, there's so many hash browns. Oh, I love my grandparents. But like, look at these hash browns.
Poppy in bacon form, like, closes the blinds, like,
puts his arm around me, kisses me.
No one cares about that.
This dream took a twist quick.
Like, it's the best day of my life. Anything else you want to throw out there, gentlemen?
So the Y podcast is tomorrow. Definitely. Yeah. It sucks.
What are you going
to
do?
I ask you to carry my word. Spread the word of my gangsterdom.
You need to
do, you didn't even join.
Dutch.
There's no closing outro from you guys?
No.
Oh, I had some for the wire one. Oh, you have to bring up Nico's girlfriend's tits to Tommy. Please.
There's anything else? Like, is that the whole podcast right there?
No, that's done? Enough of it. Because I messaged him about like working my way. He put something like working my way through season two. And I messaged him like, where do you get to the episode with Nico's girlfriend?
She has a great quote.
And then, I put that in. She has a great quote thing. And like, he'll know it when he sees it. And he still put like, oh, I wonder what quote that is. Or somebody commented on it. And I was like, I'm just going to leave it at that.
And then he liked your thing afterwards. So I feel like he knew it. We'll nail him down on that. So next episode that you listen to, everybody, is going to be a special Wire-based episode. I'm sure there'll be other things that'll come up.
Yeah.
But Wire-themed episode of the podcast. So I hope everybody enjoys that. We'll catch you next time. No wacky thing? Nobody wants to throw a joke out?
Well, there? I neither authorize nor co-sign on the next episode as being Hilarious Brothers episode. Oh, should I have brought that up before? Or?
Yeah, you really actually. I don't want to be the one to tell you this. You only have a 30% share in
decisions.
I have a 60% share, and then Scotia has the other 10%. So, I mean, you can still try to talk to her. I can still buy both.
Oh, I bought her lobster. Her boat didn't count for anything. Scotia, you promised me the world.
I'm sorry, Daddy.
Hashtag not sorry.
Hashtag lobster. Nom, 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 nom.
Toot, toot.
Bonus.
So, there has been a bit of a debate brought up once again. I think we mentioned it last time, or a couple episodes ago, that at one point in time we had drafted like Survivor Series teams. I think it was you and Sean drafted. So I'm gonna open the floor to you gentlemen to kick this off.
Alright.
Do you remember who started it, even?
Just, probably me, just being drunk as hell and talking about wrestling. And like, thinking, we should get between all of us cousins, there's 20 of us, 22. Something like that.
Yeah.
If we had to pick a Survivor Series team with you and me as team captains, who would we pick of the cousins?
4-on-4.
Obviously, assuming just all male.
Yeah. And I'm sure if I went first, it was Scott Lee right away.
Yeah. Which I'm fine with. That's yeah. It's a wise pick.
I'm pretty sure you went with Christopher. Didn't you?
Yeah. I think I went with Christopher, yeah.
It was picking brothers first.
Yeah. Like,
what have you been your first pick, though? Back then, not family loyalty.
Still bigger, but before John Boy, definitely. And Tommy was
now we're jumping ahead to pick four.
Tommy was still pretty young. Yeah, it's still a solid pick. Not picking Corey. Not making your next pick, that's for sure. You were worried about me taking something out of the pool. Go ahead with your second pick.
My second pick had been Corey. And still, we're going at the time. This is like 8 years ago. Clutch check.
He hadn't written your hate letter yet.
When he was like infamous, big boss man just marching down the street? What are you talking about?
Worst part is because...
That was big buff Corey back then?
Comparison...
Corey the ass kicker, Duke Nukem type? Or what Corey do you remember?
I think I was just heavy with me and Scott being the powerhouse duo, and nobody mattered after that. Who's your third?
Tommy.
Tommy too, and I saw potential. I snipped it out. Kid's going to be a beefcake soon.
Tom Paul was on our team, too.
Oh, I might have gone. I'm sure I went Tom Paul second.
Like, I think I just never remembered if Tom Paul's, like,
next
cousin.
Next biggest cousin, yeah. Like, physically, yeah.
I feel like I hardly ever see him.
He's probably close to my height. 6'2", I'd imagine.
Yeah. He takes a lot after Uncle Pat, so, I mean, they're almost identicals in that regard.
We're putting a big team together. And physically, your team's still tall, but, come on.
And fourth, kind of really, as like a sleeper snake. Well, sleeper you snake. Fucked up with your little snakey. Real snake.
sleeper pick. Yeah.
John Boy. I feel... We still call him John Boy. Like that whole not John Boy thing's lame.
He's not going to like hearing that. He's a big fan of the podcast.
Does he really listen to it?
I don't know.
I doubt it.
I highly doubt it.
John Boy. Tuba playing...
Musical.
Would say going. H-E double hockey sticks. John Boy.
Do you remember the 1 year in Brain Team that tied us back in? Where it was you, me, and John Boy in the living room talking?
Okay, I guess that's I guess I have to sit down and join in. I was going to let you fight it out, but okay.
No, because I would like, me and Scott, you kidding me?
Really, now it's coming over here. Go ahead.
Well, it's going to be a big difference in sound quality from me being over there and being an on-watcher.
But it's the three of us, and I guess we're probably like 13 at the time. And was John Boy like a year younger than us, if that?
John Boy's, I think, 2 years younger than us. Year or 2 years.
I remember his like big confession in like the middle of the night, you know, we're all talking in a circle, is that if he would see a Playboy, he might feel compelled to look at it, and how ashamed he was.
Like, and Sean was like, yeah, I definitely would sell weed to an 8-year-old.
It just blew my mind.
Sean's like, done it before, do it again.
Yeah, it's been a lot of editing. For
yeah, editing, sure.
Do you ever edit? Or is it pretty much you record an hour and a half, you send it?
If there's something that we need to take out. I mean, I don't edit out dead air, per se. I feel like it's better keeping it in with this one. Otherwise, it gets too scripted. And it's too much work. I've done that before with other podcasts, and it's so much work. It's like just listening to something, and like I can't tune my brain out at any point.
And your height of podcasting, how many podcasts did you have?
4 in a week.
Jeez.
And then a D&D game that was essentially another podcast that would run for 4 hours long itself. Yeah. So, I've had some lengthy situations of podcasts going on. I'm not ashamed about it, though. I love podcasts.
All right. Do you think we destroy that team without a single elimination?
I mean, if we're doing it now, there's definitely some team chemistry off between Scott and Corey.
You gotta let Scott go in first, right?
Well, I figure we'll go with, like,
lead
one,
with Corey.
2, 3, 4. Like, it'd be you and me. Okay. I would take you. I feel very confident in that.
And I definitely would come in, softened up Sean, take him.
Yeah, but Scott would wreck you quick.
That's fine. Tom Paul comes in, and this is where your team falls apart. We didn't even get to buff Tommy. We didn't even get to super buff Tommy. Because Tom Paul just wrecks big old lame Corey, and then John Boy's busy chasing a butterfly in the audience, doesn't make the 10 count.
Like, two-handed, one chicken neck in each throat, like, kaboom.
I think Scott's still fresh, because all he did is go through you, which couldn't have taken long. So it's really just got his stretches out.
I'm feisty. I ran a half marathon down the yard.
I bet we're prepared to fight dirty pretty quickly.
Yeah. There's definitely going to be, like, a lot of hilarious shenanigans where, like, Scott nails me with the DDT, but then, like, I don't know, John, like, Tommy gives him, like, a yahoo! He turns away, and then Mikey rolls in instead and tries to play like he's me. Like, oh, I'm done! And then goes in for the quick schoolboy
roll. Oh, I'm bringing 2 pocketful of sand. Definitely. Just throw them at you immediately as soon as the bell rings, like, right in your eyes.
You shiesty hilarious is probably not tunes.
I was like, Sean, look behind you. Is that the Ireland flag on fire? Tybo stick to the nuts.
I was like, wait, your plan to get sand in his eyes to make him turn away from you?
Well, that's the start, yeah.
Oh, okay. And then he turns around and you're like...
I gotta surprise him, yeah.
It's like Sonya Blade, Kiss of Death. You're like...
There's a little bit of pink perfume.
See, this is why I think my team would win. They're going through all these actions.
It's gonna be like the hot and cold debacle.
Oh, the Icy Hot?
Icy Hot.
By the way, guys, if you ever are going to buy store brand of anything, I advise spending an extra dollar. Get actual Icy Hot as opposed to the store brand. As we made the poor attempt of putting Icy Hot on. Oh, God. All right. So we did Icy Hot. We just happened to rub it on our thighs at a post-run, and then both of us unintentionally rubbed our eye like a minute or so later, and it just immediately set our eye on fire. Terry's big idea is like, why'd you pour water on it? It just made it a million times worse. And you'd think that lesson enough would have been all we needed to not interact poorly with it. Cut to that night. Go into my room. Put a little Icy Hot on the legs. And then I decided to masturbate. And I will tell you what. I did not think it through. And it was just mind-numbing pain all the way. You're like, ah!
I thought that was Mad Max. I was like, what's going on? A lot of hooting.
It was so painful.
It's all the oonsing in the background.
Did you finish it, though?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was almost kind of a thrill. In and of itself, yeah. Like, it was afterwards. It's like, whew, how do I do that? No. Actually, no. But it was, oh, man. What a... Just get regular Icy Hot. Put it nowhere near your hands. And enjoy that cool, refreshing burn. Don't masturbate afterwards with it. It's no bueno.
Muy malo.